What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton. Welcome to another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. And I want to jump right in, man. You know, yesterday was the NBA trade deadline, so we had a lot of moving around, a lot of wheeling and dealing. Nothing too crazy. The one team that did make a lot of moves that had people talking about them again on the Cleveland Cavs. We all know they were kind of lackluster this year, losing a bunch of games, 12 of the last 18, if I'm not mistaken. Head coach Ty Lue was on the rocks. His job status was rocky, I should say. The team wasn't clicking. Only thing that was consistent with the team was LeBron. Just a nasty situation overall. But, you know, yesterday they kind of made some moves. They traded quite a few people. They got traded away Wade, sent him back to Miami where he needed to be the whole time. You know, they gave away a protected second-round pick. They got rid of Isaiah Thomas. And Channing Frye sent them out to L.A. for a first-round pick. And in return, they got Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson. Then we got Derrick Rose, Jay Crowder. They were off out to Utah, who sent back Rodney Hood. Then you got Jay Crowder and Iman Shumpert. They went over to Sacramento for George Hill. So it kind of made Cleveland a little bit younger and made them a little bit better. It kind of made them the favorite in the East, as everybody's talking about now. That's the big thing, you know. Again, they still have to get in the court and they still have to mesh together. You know, obviously with the new guys, the new pieces, and then you got Kevin Love coming back in a couple of weeks from his hand injury. Not a couple of weeks, but, you know, probably about 5-6 more weeks and he'll be back on the court. They could be doing something special. I know right now everybody's saying Boston needs to be worried and things of that nature, but on the look of things, it's going to be quite interesting. I'm curious as to see what happens down the stretch just because of the whole impending thing with, you know, all this LeBron noise. We all know what's happening. LeBron's going to be gone maybe again, you know. And this time, you know, obviously this will be his last time he's leaving because he's 33 right now, so he won't be playing for another 10 years like Tom Brady. But it'll be interesting to see how this works out. If the team can gel and they can sign the right pieces, it's kind of like, you know, why leave? But then again, it's also like, why not leave? Apparently he hates the owner. He gets into it with some executives. He's gotten into it with some executives recently in the past few weeks. And it just hasn't really been a good situation there for him. So it's just ugly. So hopefully these pieces that they got, I mean, they got some pretty good guys. Like Chris Bashaw said today on Undisputed with Shannon and Skip, he was kind of saying, look, they're on high maintenance. You know, all these guys that they got in return, Jordan Clarkson isn't a me first guy. Larry Nance Jr. isn't a me first guy. You know, Rodney Hood, he can put up some big numbers. A Duke guy, he isn't a me first guy. Then you got George Hill, who's better than everybody thinks he may be. You know, he's a kind of a solid pro. One of those guys that don't jump out at you because he doesn't have that kind of game. But, you know, he's leading the league in three-point percentage this year, 45% to be exact. And so it's like he's here. You know, he's making a move. You know, they're here. These guys are ready to integrate themselves within the team, and make things happen. I think these guys are all hungry, especially like a guy like Rodney Hood and, you know, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance. They haven't tasted success yet. You know, George Hill's been in the playoffs a few times. He played with the Spurs, obviously, so he's tasted some success. But these guys are out here. They're hungry, man. They want to win and they want to play. And, you know, Cleveland has the right pieces. If they can make this work, Ty Lue can make the proper adjustments and these guys can kind of come in. And they got the best player in the world, arguably still. You know, with them, LeBron's going to make your job easier. You're not going to have to come in and do all kinds of crazy things. But, I mean, the consensus around the league is that the Cavs, you know, they won a trade deadline because they got a little bit younger. They were able to make some moves. They were able to do some crazy things, you know, as far as getting the team that they assembled. And we'll have to wait to see what happened. Other teams made smaller moves, but nothing of any significance, you know. But I'm just sitting there, you know, talking about Cleveland right now because of what they were able to do, what they were able to get together, what they were able to, you know, put out there. So, we'll see how it works. We got a couple of weeks before, you know, we can really see anything take effect. You know, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks to see how well they gel. But if LeBron's going to do what LeBron can do, these guys will be up to speed in no time. You got George Hill stepping in running the point. I mean, he's probably right now he's got the size, so he's not the defensive liability that Isaiah was. You got Rodney Hood. You know, he's going to probably come off the bench, but he gives you some good offense. And you got, like, you know, you got Jordan Clarkson, another big guard, and you got Larry Nance, man. He's high jumping, rebounding four. You know, the kid can get out there in the break and, he can get to the hoop. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything comes together. I know these young guys are hungry. You know, going from L.A. to Cleveland isn't the best thing in the world, but when you get to play with the best player in the world, your job may be a little bit more fun. So we'll see how this works, man. We got a few weeks, but we'll definitely check this out. Let's continue on with some more of this NBA trade deadline talk. You know, we look at some of these other deals that teams made. So I go through this list right now. You know, some deals are bigger than others. You know, the Phoenix Suns got Elfrid Payton from Orlando Magic. Orlando got a second round pick in return. Elfrid Payton's having a pretty good year this year, about 13 a game. For some reason, I don't know why, I never really thought he was. I thought he was supposed to be bigger and better than what he was. I mean, he's solid. He's pretty decent, like 11 points a game for his career. But for some reason, they were expecting him to be a little bit better than what he was, and he just never really took, you know, never really developed the way they wanted him to. But who knows what happens at Phoenix? You know, you have him at the point guard. You know, you can kind of slide. You know, Booker's playing the two, so we'll see how that backcourt works. The Knicks, they had a, you know, it's a three-team deal. Knicks got Emmanuel Mudiay. Devin Harris went to Denver, and the Dallas Mavericks got Doug McDermott. So, Mudiay, I like a lot. I mean, he's having a down season this year just because he's not averaging as much as he's been averaging in the past, about 8.5 a game this year. But he's a young point guard, pretty tall guard, about 6'5", 6'6". So he could help the Knicks. I mean, and then the Knicks really haven't got much out of their first-round pick this year. I mean, it's just – I don't want to give up on Frank Ntilikina, but, I mean, you pick him and then you kind of leave Dennis Smith Jr. on the table. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like – these things can be prevented if you kind of have the right people in place. But again, we didn't really have the right person in place making that decision when it was made. So this is what we stuck with. You know, Doug McDermott is out there in Dallas now. You know, he's a guy that I really hated to see go because he's a hardworking guy, but it's a part of the business. I can't really feel bad for people that get to play basketball for a living. Like, you know, he's got a pretty good gig. So, you know, that's just my emotion taking over. I'm on some more deal, you know, some more deals that were made. You know, nothing really worthwhile. You know, again, Dwayne Wade's back, like I mentioned in the previous segment. Smaller deals, man. I'm looking at Jameer Nelson. He's in Detroit now. Chicago has Willie Reed. Now, you know, Luke Babb is back with Miami. You know, the Knicks also traded Willie Hernan Gomez out to Charlotte. And in return, the Knicks got Johnny O'Brien and two future second-round picks. So, you know, Tyler Zeller, he went the Bucks got Rashard Vaughn. How should I say? Hold on, let me backtrack. Tyler Zeller's with Milwaukee now, and the Nets have Rashard Vaughn. It's just Nikola Mirotic, he's in New Orleans now. Chicago got Omar Sheik, Tony Allen, and Jameer Nelson, who obviously was just traded again. So it's just one of those things that, you know, we obviously had the other trade as far as the Blake Griffin trade that happened before the deadline. So these are the new deals that were made. These are the new deals that happened. Again, nothing that was so dramatic and major, with the exception of Cleveland's deal, Cleveland situation. So, this allows me to segue into another segment as far as what's going on with a particular player. You know, that one player is Isaiah Thomas. You know, right now he's on his 15, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Sacramento, then he was a Phoenix, then Boston, Cleveland. He's his 15 now. So, you know, he's with the Lakers now. You know, he's got the rest of the season to try to really get it together and to try to really work some things out. Hearing people talk about him is like he's damaged goods in a sense where he's not really damaged goods, you know, because it's like, look, he's 5'9", we get it, he beat the odds. Hell of a player, was MVP candidate a couple of years ago, but now it's like back to square one now. And it's like he has to start all over and build his name up. The guy had a huge season a year ago, you know, an MVP race, you know, in line for a huge extension. Danny Ainge kind of saw something that we didn't all see. Everybody's like, oh, he deserves it. Danny Ainge is just like, look, I'm not giving a guy that's 5'9", a defensive liability. I'm not going to give him all this money. At first, we're kind of like, Danny Ainge, you're tripping. What's up? Give him the money, pay him. But now it's kind of like, well, damn, Danny Ainge looks like a genius. You know what I mean? So he's stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. And it's kind of shitty for him in a sense where it's like, what's going to happen with him? You know, where does he go? You know, where does this lead him? You know, what kind of market is he going to attract the free agent? He's averaging 15, shooting 35% right now. It's not looking good for him. So, you know, it's been a crappy season for him coming back from a hip injury. And maybe he came back too fast because he wanted to prove to people that he still had him, he could still play, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he's one of the guys that stands out as far as everything. You know, he got dealt again. I didn't think he would get dealt. I thought J.R. might have got dealt before him, honestly. J.R. Smith, that is. So right now, we're at a place now where it's like, where does he go? You know, does he think he's better than he actually is? I mean, he's an NBA player, obviously, so I think everybody's good in the NBA. But, I mean, is it because of Brad Stevens' system? Is he really that good? I mean, what do you pay him? I mean, like Chris Broussard reported, like a lot of people are saying he's going to make the mid-level, probably, if that. So, kind of got to wait and see, man. It seems to be like the odd man out. But, you know, hopefully he gets it together and hopefully he can have a great second half of the season. Hope the Lakers win some games and kind of rise his stock back up again. If not, he's back to square one. Sliding on to a little bit more NBA news, we want to talk about this whole mystery situation going on with Markelle Fultz. Apparently, he's played a couple games this season. He's still not ready to return back up his right shoulder. It's just awkward, you know, for me, because it's like Philly just has his cursed draft picks. I mean, Ben Simmons last year, Joel Embiid before him, you know, he sat out for 2 years. But he's been well worth the wait. You know, Ben Simmons was well worth the wait. You know what I mean? Then you got Markelle Fultz, and it's just a weird thing with the shoulder injury. It's like, it's just crazy. It's like Brian Colangelo saying that, you know, he may be done for the rest of the season. And, you know, they say they're going to wait to see what's happening right now. But it's like he has a shoulder ailment. And apparently it's just like, look, you know, it's just a mental thing going on with him. You know, like apparently he can't shoot past, you know, he can't really shoot past the paint. And that's something like, I mean, as talented as the dude is, I mean, you know, you really need to have a deep ball game in the NBA. You got to be able to shoot from the perimeter. And if he can't do that, what good is he? You know, I hate to see this because here's a guy, number one pick in the draft, you know, one and done in college. He's a stud, obviously. So it's just looking a little awkward for him. You know, for me, I see it like, you know, they made these trades. Look, how Boston, you know, Boston almost got coached into doing this. You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, Boston would have wasted a draft pick. You know, and I'm not knocking Markelle because he's a talented kid. I think he's going to be pretty amazing when he gets back. But it's like, what's happening with him now? You know, is it something that's long-term is going to affect him long-term? You know, I'm hearing Brian Windhorst talking about it as a mental thing. And it's like, you know, mentally, it's like, look at your shoulder. I get it. But, I mean, it goes to show, like, a lot of people around the league say they've never seen nothing like this. You know, so it's like he's in limbo now. You know, they don't really know what to make of it. They don't know what to expect from it. They don't know what's going to happen with them. So it's like, you really don't want to say, hey, is he going to be a buzz? Is it a wasted draft pick? Because it's like, you pick the number one. You pick a guy number one, that means you're ready for the, you know, the guy's going to turn your franchise over. You know, that's what I get from it, obviously. You know what I mean? Number one pick, you're supposed to change the franchise around. And, you know, Philly's on, you know, they're on the right path with everything. And they still are on the right path with everything. So kind of just have to wait and see what happens. But it's unfortunate right now because, I mean, I had a lot of high expectations for him. You know, I really wish it was something that he could have, you know, something he can overcome. I hope he gets over it really quickly just because, you know, he's 19 years old still. So, you know, he has a ton of years in front of him. You know, obviously, this is something he's going to look back at in 15 years, hopefully, and be like, oh, damn, that was crazy. This was this, this was that. But at the end of the day, he needs to get it together because if he's healthy and they can get him, they can get Ben Simmons, they can get Joel Embiid all on the same page, then they're going to be pretty good, man. And speaking of Ben Simmons, like, I've been seeing, like, a lot of people got named over. You know, a lot more people have been named to the All-Star team. He hasn't been one of them. He's been passed over 3 times. And right now, he's just kind of, like, speaking out. And he's just like, look, you know, I know I'm an All-Star player. I know I'm this. I know I'm that. And look, I get it. He's a really good player. He's a really, really, really good dude. And I get it. He's a stud. I mean, he's going to be one of those guys in the league that's a superstar for years to come, and there's going to be nothing that you can really say or do about it. But it's like, look, he's averaging 16, 7, and 7. Philly's improved a lot this year. And I get it, but look, at the same time, as good as he is, he's got to wait his turn. You know, it's not your turn yet. When LeBron was a rookie, LeBron should have made it. LeBron and Melo probably should have made it. At that particular time when LeBron, when the All-Star break reached, there was people saying, damn, LeBron might be the best player in the Eastern Conference right now. You know what I mean? And this is, what, 03, 04? So it was like, you kind of gotta get him when you fit in. You know, Kobe was still at the peak of his powers. You know, T-Mac was at the peak of his powers at that time. You got all these great players in the league still. Allen Iverson was still in Philly. And you're saying LeBron might be the best player in the league and he's a 19-year-old kid? Like, I mean, come on now. Like, and this kid didn't make it. So it's like, gotta wait your turn. I get it. He's anxious. He's ready to get in there. Look, maybe if Philly was winning a little bit more, you could put a little bit more stock in. So I get it. They're like, what, 3-4 games over 500? And they're still winning. They've improved a lot. He's helped them out a whole lot. You know, 6'10 point guard. I mean, the kid's amazing. He's doing what he do. But I'm like, let's just kind of reel it in a little bit. Be easy. Kemba Walker definitely deserved. He definitely deserves his All-Star nod. You know, Andre Drummond deserves his All-Star nod. Gordon Dragic deserved his. So it's nothing against him. I think he kind of has to wait. You know, it's a part of the game. You know, sometimes you want to expedite the process. If they say, just trust the process. Sit back, relax, enjoy it. He misses you. Trust me, he's gonna be a perennial All-Star. But it's all said and done. He had at least 10 All-Star notches under his belt, barring injury. This kid is special. He knows he's special, which is why he's speaking out and lax not about it. But I think if he's patient, waits a little while, everything can fall into place the way it's supposed to. Let's continue with a little bit more NBA talk. It's kind of NBA dominant right now, so this is kind of what I'm giving my attention to. But let's talk about Paul Pierce. I don't really talk about him much, but today I want to kind of recognize him a little bit. Not a little bit, but I just want to give him his props because he deserves it. Paul Pierce he's going to have his jersey retired tomorrow night. Here's a guy that, how should I say, when you look at Paul Pierce, and most people, it's depending on who you are, what kind of a basketball fan you are, but when you look at Paul Pierce, here's a guy that, he played his heart out, for damn near 20 years. He's a phenomenal player. Was a phenomenal Celtic. Just a lot of big time moments. I mean, if you look at Paul Pierce and NBA basketball, you kind of know what he brought to the table. You kind of know what he was, what he was like. A trash talker. He talked with the best of them. Averaged over 19 for his career. And he played most of his, he played most of his career with the Celtics, obviously. He had to eventually leave. Because, you get older, it's a part of the business. But, out of your 19 years, you play what? You play 15 years with the Celtics. So that's enough, as far as him being who he is and doing what he's doing, and as far as getting out there and performing for the crowd. His last couple of years were really lackluster. He went to Brooklyn, and then he ended up going to Washington for a year, and then he played with the Clippers for the last 2 years. He was more of a role player then, obviously. Even in Brooklyn, it was kind of like on the downside. Didn't really score much the last couple of years. But, just seeing what he brought to the table and what he was, I mean, it's proper. It's only right that the Celtics give him the tribute that they've given him. I've seen a lot of big-time Paul Pierce moments. One of my favorite moments is one that a lot of people probably don't remember. He was on the top of the keys. He's like on the perimeter, and he's sitting there looking at the clock, and he's looking at Al Harrington. He's talking to Al Harrington. According to the story, he's telling Al Harrington, "You got my poster on your wall." And Al Harrington's like, "Yeah, right." He said, "You got my poster on your wall." And he said, you had my poster on your wall," something to that effect. And he's like, "What's what I'm about to do?" And he tells Al Harrington where he's about to go. And he kind of goes and takes a step back and drains a three in his face. Like, he's one of the better, he's one of the game's better trash talkers. I mean, he was amazing. I mean, again, it took him 10 years to get his championship. And if anybody remembers when he got his championship ring opening night, just that image of him coming out, holding the ring up to the crowd, raising it up and just crying with the big tear coming down his face. I mean, if you're a sports fan, you kind of understand where I'm coming from. Like, just the enthusiasm, just the appreciation for what he did and what he went through. Obviously, coming back from that tragedy early in his career when he got stabbed up at the nightclub or whatever. I hate to bring that up, but it's a part of his story. It's a part of his testimony. And obviously, it's something that's forgotten now, but he's able to bounce back from that. He had a damn good season that year, so... Finished third in Celtics history in games played with over 1,102 games. As far as points, he's right behind Havlicek, 24,021. So he's second in Celtics history with that. Third in field goals made, 7,882. What else we got? Three-pointers, he's the lead Celtics leader in three-pointers made, 1,823. Fifth in assists, over 4,300 assists. Rebounds, he's seventh in rebounds, 6,651 rebounds. He's first in Celtic history in steals with 1,583. So his name is up there in the record books. His name is there. His name is in Celtic lore to be there forever. And it's only right that he's getting honored. The 34 is getting raised up, nobody will ever wear it. I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it. I mean, it's really hard to see. You can never say he's the greatest Celtic ever because obviously, what came before him. But when you talk about all-time great Celtics, I mean, talk about top 10 all-time great Celtics, And for me, when I say all-time great Celtics, that's not a knock on him at all. It's not like saying, you're a top 10 Clipper. No. that's two different franchises, obviously. It's a franchise that's kind of like greatness. Like, the Celtics are one of the preeminent franchises in the league. They got a ton of championships. So, when you think about greatness, you think about the Celtics, and their first-class organization, how they do things on the court and so forth. But Paul Pierce, again, the people that have come before him, the Bird Parishes, Mikhails, Havlicek, you got Russell. You got Kuzi and things like that. To be in that mix, nothing to be ashamed of. So, again, he gets his jersey retired, Saturday night. Well-deserved. Definitely a huge honor. I think it's a big thing for him. Obviously, it's a huge deal. Any kid growing up who plays basketball, makes it to the NBA, wants that. Salute to Paul Pierce. So, after all, there's no Isaiah Thomas coming in the building. So, Paul Pierce definitely gets his time to himself. So, the controversy ends. The controversy is over anyway. So, shout out to Paul Pierce, man. One of the best to ever do it. Future Hall of Famer, 10-time NBA All-Star. One of the best to lace him up. One of Kansas. One of the best to ever come through Kansas. One of California's finest. Well deserved, man. So let's move on to the NFL right quick. I want to talk about this this nice deal by Jimmy Garoppolo. If anybody's been paying attention, anybody's been looking at the news the last couple of days, he signed a huge deal on Thursday night, $137.5 million for 5 years. For a guy that's got five starts under his belt, no, seven starts under his belt. You heard it right. Seven starts under his belt, two in New England, five in San Francisco. So let's see. Let's hopefully it works out. You know, it was a move that was done to attract free agents to San Francisco. You know, you can't really attract the right people if you don't have the right quarterback there. So John Lynch knows what he's doing, obviously. John Lynch is doing, you know, he's doing the right thing. You're getting your building block. Now you got the pieces that you're going to build around them. It's a crazy deal. I mean, a lot of people complaining about it. Not complaining, but they were more so talking about it and whether or not he deserved it or not. Had a ton of leverage, you know, working for him. You know, just the fact that he was able to kind of put together the season that he was able to put together so fast. Such a, you know, a trade in which, look, you move from New England over to California. You know, it's nice over there. New England's crazy snowstorms in the wintertime. Yeah, he won. He got a Super Bowl ring with them now. As a competitor, I'm sure he wants to go out there and try to lead his own team to win a Super Bowl. But when he got over there, he completed 67% of his passes, threw for 1,560 yards, you know, seven touchdowns, five interceptions. You know, the intriguing part is this. For his career, 12 touchdowns and five interceptions, 2,250 yards, 67% career, you know, 67% of his passes have been completed for his career. He has to earn this money. He has to go out there and he has to compete. And he has to, you know, he doesn't have to compete for the job because it's his. He proves he can be the starting quarterback. His leverage is what got it done. They needed the quarterback. They couldn't let him go. He's got a great coach in Kyle Shanahan, who's a great offensive mind. He's the franchise quarterback. So, you know, everybody's behind him. Everybody knows he knows how they feel about him and vice versa. You know, he loves it out there. He wants to be there. Like I said, $42.6 million is he's going to get his first year. He hits all his roster and workout bonuses. You know, $48.7 million guaranteed at due at the signing. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this all works out. Garoppolo's a real good quarterback. I can tell with the New England thing, it was a situation where Bob Kraft kind of had to really let his emotion – he let his emotion get the best of him. He kind of intervened and was like, I don't want to – you know, he didn't want to – you know, he let him go. He didn't want any impending controversy. For me, I see it like this. I understand the business, but I understand where Belichick's coming from. Like, you got to let that shit go. You got a 26-year-old quarterback that looks like he can be the future of your franchise. Like, Tom Brady's got another, what, 3 years maybe? And that's if he stays healthy. So hopefully nothing goes wrong where it's like, oh, you know, and we're looking left about it. So I'm hoping they draft somebody. And, it, you know, because if Garoppolo develops and becomes what he's supposed to be, they're going to be sitting there with a bunch of long faces in New England, man. Because 14 years, the difference in, you know, between your start and your backup. You know, I understand where Garoppolo's coming from, where he wanted to play and wanted to make that money. But, it's hard to say moving from Tom Brady. He almost led you to a sixth Super Bowl. So I totally get it. I totally understand where they're coming from. But we got to wait and see what happens, man. I mean, he's the hottest kid. He was hot out there. And, you know, everything is going to work itself out now. But he's in San Francisco. He's a franchise quarterback. He got paid like he's Joe Montana. Now it's time to produce like he's Joe Montana. So no excuses. He's got the money. John Lynch is better get him some help. Shanahan better call the right plays, and they'll work the magic. Again, before I get out of here, I want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Jamal Bolton Show. Like I ask you every week, please, please, please do me a favor. Head over to iTunes, head over to podcast, and when you get to the search engine, please, please, please hit search, go to Jamal Bolton Show. And when you find it, hit the subscription. Please, please, whatever I can get, I accept. I appreciate you guys. You know, if you guys, you know, whatever you can do, feel free to share it for me. However you hear it, just get the word out. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. I know it's a marathon, not a sprint. But I'm here for the long haul, and I definitely appreciate your support. You know, and also before I go, you know, it's 10 days into the year already, 9 days into the year already. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, when we talk about Black History Month, we do get the shortest month of the year. But remember, you know, this is not an anti-white speech, so please nobody take it this way. I want people to know, like, look, you know, African Americans, you know, we still deal with a lot of bullshit on a day-to-day basis, you know. My fellow African Americans, you know, my Black people, like I should say, you know, let's be proud of what we have. Let's utilize this month, not only this month, but every day of the year, you know, celebrate who we are. You know, obviously as the days go on and as we get older, we discover more and more about ourselves and how important we are, how important we continue to be. You know, all this Black excellence going on out in the world. You know, just go out there, just celebrate who we are, man. Enjoy who you are. Be proud of who you are. Everybody I know is proud of who they are. You know what I'm saying? So I don't got no friends that wish they were something else outside of being Black. You know, ain't no Sammy Sosa's in my crew. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just again, just, you know, I just want to put that out there. You know, again, just being for the cause, you know, just again, just supporting, you know, who you are, support other blacks, you know. Again, don't forget to go watch Black Panther. That's gonna be a dope ass movie. I can't wait to see that, you know. But yeah, please, man, Black History Month, man, celebrate it safely, man, celebrate it proud, you know. Don't be afraid to embark and learn new things about who we are as a people and our history, man. You know, definitely got to keep doing that and keep that up. Keep that positive energy out there, man. Keep pushing, keep grinding, doing what you do. You know, shoot for the moon. If you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars, as they say, right? I'm your boy Jamal Bolton signing off, and I'll speak with you guys in a couple days. Peace.